As promised, a special treat in this hour, for the hour, for all you Trekkies. It's a career conversation with legendary actor William Shatner, who at age 93 is busier than ever. Listen to this. A new album, a documentary, not one but two books, and a Christmas cruise to Antarctica, that is. Not sure that 1 hour is going to be enough for William Shatner, but we'll squeeze in as much as we can now that he joins us for the hour. We were teasing earlier on the program. One of my guests, Ruben Navarrete, earlier on this program, was making the point that listening to all that William Shatner is doing, I feel like a slacker. I feel like I'm lazy. I got to get my life together and start doing something. If he could be doing all this at 93. William Shatner, it's been a long time. It's good to hear your voice again. Sir, how are you today?
Indeed, it has been a long time. I'm well, and yourself?
If I complained, I'd be an ingrate, man. I'd be an ingrate if I complained. I'm doing...
That's the way I feel, too. Mm-hmm. Life is beautiful in every shape, as long as you can keep in mind that it's beautiful. When it isn't beautiful, there's a beauty to it.
Mm-hmm. That's deep. When there isn't beautiful... And there's a beauty to it. I love that. Let me do this right quick. I thought long and hard about whether or not to lead into this conversation. I'm glad I got you for the hour. You got a lot of stuff going on. As I said, we'll talk about all of it. But I thought long and hard, William Shatner, about whether or not to start this conversation with the theme from Star Trek, because at this point in your life, I know you've heard that theme more times than you can count. I'm sure that everybody that talks to you at some point plays the theme, wants to discuss Star Trek, and I thought about whether or not he may be over that at this point. But I'm saying all this to ask whether or not, given how iconic that role was as Captain Kirk, given how iconic that series was and all that's come from it since then, whether you ever get tired of talking about Star Trek.
Well, I'm munching a piece of toast while I talk to you.
That's fine. You're William Shatner. You do whatever you want to do, man.
Well, Star Trek is a phenomenon. Mm-hmm. Star Trek is unlike anything else in show business ever. It's been on all these years in various iterations, continuing to being on, and there's no sign of it slowing down. So I believe I was the show that I was on, mm-hmm, was about 60 years ago, and it's still going strong. Never happened before. And in our lifetime, yours and mine, we'll never see its like again, mm-hmm, because it'll take that length of time for a show to prove itself. So you and I will never have seen anything like Star Trek. So that in itself is worthy of discussion.
Yeah. When you look back on it now, 60 plus years ago, what do you make of how ahead of its time it was as a series?
Well, science fiction's been around a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think science fiction captures the imagination of, mm-hmm, a certain number of people because it seeks to point out what the future can be, mm-hmm, both good and bad, both that there is a future and mankind's technology will surpass all these terrible things that are happening as a result of technology. And so you have two views of what is in the future, total destruction, and the death of mankind. The earth will continue and wipe itself clean of us, and other things will arise. Or the technology that is in the works, there's so many good things that given enough time will result in mankind's survival and joyful existence on Earth, given enough time and our scientists working on it. So that's the race we're in now. Whether we as citizens of the world can delay the onslaught of global warming in enough time to give our scientists time to invent the things they're already inventing, that they're already got the concepts for, that's the race we're in, Tavis.
Yeah. Let me tell a quick story here. And when we come forward, I want to get William Shatner to respond to this. And
share his thoughts, and we'll discuss all the other stuff he's doing. I just wanted to get the Star Trek thing out of the way for all my Trekkie fans listening right now and watching right now. But I had the honor in her lifetime to interview Nichelle Nichols 3-4 times. Had dinner with her a couple of times. So I wouldn't say that if she were here now, she'd call me a friend. Maybe she would, but we were certainly friendly and spent some high quality time together publicly and privately over dinner. And I love this story because it speaks to so many different things. But Nichelle Nichols, obviously a black woman, historic in her role as Uhura on Star Trek, just an iconic role as this black woman 60 years ago. And she had decided for a number of reasons that she wasn't altogether happy on Star Trek and thought she might leave the show. She told Gene Roddenberry, the creator, that she was thinking about leaving the show. And Gene said, no way, you can't do that, yada, yada, yada. He said, take the weekend and think about it, and let's talk about it when you get back. Over the weekend, it just so happens, I'm telling you this story because Nichelle Nichols told me this story, and she wrote about it in her book. Over the weekend, she happened to run into a guy named Martin Luther King Jr. at an event. And Dr. King told Nichelle Nichols, don't you dare leave that show. She told Doc that she was thinking about departing, and he went in and gave her a pep talk. This is Dr. King giving Nichelle Nichols a pep talk about how important her role was on Star Trek, that he and his family and his kids watched Star Trek, and what it meant to them to see a black person in the future. And he implored her to not leave Star Trek. Well, that did it. She went back to work the next week and told Gene Roddenberry, I ain't going nowhere. And the rest, as they say, is history. That's the story from Nichelle Nichols. But I want to talk to William Shatner about what it meant. This story, this series, again, was iconic in so many ways, but it gave us this powerful, beautiful black woman in this series that the country had not seen in network television in that regard. We'll talk about that part and all the other stuff that William Shatner is doing in his life. I'm honored to have him on this program. You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
From the Merck Park with love, this is Tavis Smiley. Helping to make you the most knowledgeable person in your circle of friends. This is Tavis Smiley.
This is Tavis Smiley, who is honored to be in conversation with William Shatner, a legendary actor who has a lot of stuff happening in his life. We're going to unpack that as we move through this hour. His documentary, his new album, his books, his cruise. He's a busy brother, but he slowed down long enough to give us an hour today. And again, I am grateful for it. William Shatner, I assume that at some point you had heard that story about Nichelle Nichols and Dr. King and her perhaps wanting to leave the show and King giving her a pep talk. Had you heard that story before?
Indeed, I had. She was very proud of it, and we were very proud for her. It's monumental, isn't it? I mean, things change, and there was a pivot in the casting director's book. Who will we cast? What will we cast? And everything opened up, and people of all ilk of the variety of mankind were on the show in all of their various glories.
Yeah. That's a testament. I want to move from Star Trek in just a second. But that is a testament to the show when you look at the cast, to your point. There really was a sort of, you know, pardon the pun, a sort of rainbow coalition on that show. And again, for a show to be that progressive back then.
At that time.
Yes.
In those years, yeah.
Absolutely. Is that a tribute to Gene Roddenberry? I think it is.
Well, I'm not sure how those hierarchical decisions were made. Gene was certainly in on it, but there were a lot of really wonderful people that worked on the show that whose names are now, you know, pretty much forgotten, but who were wonderfully talented and added to the excellence of the show that resulted in this long run.
Yeah. Yep. Here's my final question on Star Trek, and we're going to move to the rest of the stuff that you are so busily working on these days. And this is a strange question. I warned you up front, Mr. Shatner, but let me ask it anyway. I wonder, you mentioned casting a moment ago, and there's this thing in Hollywood, as you know, called typecasting. And I wonder, 60 years later, whether or not being Captain Kirk on Star Trek in any way hurt or hindered your career. We know how iconic it was, but did you ever have second thoughts about having played it?
No.
Yeah.
It was a leading man, He got the villain, kissed the girl, all this stuff. So being typecast as that when you're young and fitting that bill was all right. I became aware when we were doing the show, none of us were aware, of course, of what would happen. It was just going along, moderately successful, 3 years, then it was canceled. Mm-hmm. It was 6 years later, because of this new thing that came in called reruns, that it became as popular as it did. And it was an earlier, shown at an earlier hour, so kids got a hold of it. No, it was something totally unknown, and nobody, including Roddenberry, could have guessed what the resultant fate of Star Trek would be.
Yeah. Well, thank you for indulging my questions on that. I mean that sincerely. I know when you've done something that is, again, this iconic, everywhere you go, people want to talk about Star Trek. And so I appreciate the few minutes that you indulged me in answering those questions. But now I want to talk about all the stuff you're doing these days. But I want to start, though, if I can, sir, with a bit of a philosophical question. And that is, when you have achieved the age that you have achieved, when you have achieved all the success that you have achieved, you could sit down. You could. You really do have the right to rest on your laurels. They say don't do that, but you could. You could rest on your laurels. And so before I start walking through all the stuff you're doing, tell me philosophically why you were so busy, why you choose to do all this stuff.
Well, among the many things like ambition and it's interesting, curiosity, is a sense that there's not much time in my life left, and I want to, I don't know, accomplish as much as possible, be tied in as much, be current as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And I'm not seeking out the opportunities. I don't have an agent. I'm my own agent. But when things come in, the people asking me to do things, I'm intrigued by many of the things they're asking me to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do. I perform. I make people laugh and cry, but I also am involved in futuristic projects that because I'm known to be acquainted with science fiction, that these scientifically advanced projects are brought to me. And every so often, one really appeals to me, mm-hmm. and I'll be part of it. Whether it's a company that has a technique to be able to adjudicate whether something is not a counterfeit, mm-hmm. if something is real, or if it's a company that can project my body, project my being to another location, I'm in effect beaming in to various places.
Beam me
just
up.
To give you just to give you an idea of how fate seems to be taking care of me.
Yeah.
This company comes to me saying, we have the ability to beam your image in and out. It just requires the placement of a telephone-sized booth wherever you're going to beam in. And from the San Fernando Valley, we can reach anywhere in the world. And your body and presence, not only that, this telephone booth thing has microphones so I can see and hear the audience. So when I said to this company who wanted me to go to Australia, I can't, but I can beam in. When it was all over, I said, how was it? She said, it was better than you being there. And it's that sort of thing that I'm acquainted with. Storyfile, a company that will record your they'll interview you for a period of time. For me, I did 5 days, but you could do it in the morning and after. It's just a matter of how much of a fee you would pay. They'll record you, put you into a artificial intelligence technology, mm-hmm. and then you can, or anybody else can, call up by pressing the screen and ask that figure, which is you, any question. And if it's something you've covered in your interview, your figure will answer the question. And so it's, since it's electronic, it's essentially forever. And now you have something that will, you can show the future.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question right quick and I'll move forward here. Given to your earlier point that you are known, obviously, as a futurist, you did a futuristic project that everybody loves all these years later, Star Trek and all the different iterations of it, as you mentioned earlier. But you've lived long enough now, I think, to be freaked out or to be impressed or to be something by these technological advances. What is William Shatner when he sees these technological advances? Are you freaked out? Are you inspired? Like, what does it do to you when you see this stuff?
Well, those are two good words.
Yeah.
Put a slash in between them.
Yeah.
Freak slash inspired. We are on the verge. We are dipping our toe into something that is so unique for mankind. We're just on the edges of it. Everybody in the world today who is conscious can look around them and say, this year is the beginning of a whole new era for humanity. Mm-hmm. With all the new technological devices, with the transportation, communication, knowledge, exploration, ways of teaching, even political stuff, we are on the cutting edge of a future that nobody knows, well, since you don't know the future anyway, but what the possibilities are in the future, negative or positive, we're on the edge of that. We can make it positive if we will it so.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, and I ask this respectfully. I have, this audience knows there are two groups of people that I enjoy talking to. I've been at this radio and TV thing for a long time, but there are two groups of people I would choose to talk to any day of the week before any other groups. In no particular order, one, I love talking to artists because artists are, to my mind, the gatekeepers of truth in our society. Artists are transparent, artists are open. So I'm talking about musical artists, the visual arts, actors, musicians. I mean, I love talking to artists because they are open and honest and transparent, mostly, in their interactions with you. So you get great conversation when you talk to artists. But I also love talking to elders because there's so much wisdom to be gleaned from talking to elders. And so over the course of my career, I've talked to so many people. I'm thinking of Mel Brooks, and I'm thinking of Dick Van Dyke, and I'm thinking of Carl Reiner, and I'm thinking of, I could just do this all day long, Sidney Poitier and Harry Belafonte, friends of mine. I love talking to elders because, again, there's so much wisdom to be gleaned. But every time I talk to them, I am always fascinated by some of the names I just mentioned, and now you, William Shatner, at how you have kept your mind so sharp. How are you this sharp at 93?
Well, I don't know. It's nothing I'm doing. You know, I'm not going to make a statement that sounds like I know everything. In my opinion, it's the best way to start.
Sure.
The way you keep alive, both mentally and physically, is curiosity. Whether you're curious about some scientific thing, something out of a book, or whether you're curious as to your body and whether you can keep it healthy by what you put in and what you expend in terms of exercise, everybody knows what to do. It's just a matter, when you get older, you're accustomed to doing, you know, if you're smoking or drinking or not treating yourself as in such a healthy fashion as you could, you get used to certain ways of doing things, and it's more comfortable not to do the healthy thing, not to eat processed foods and that kind of thing. It's easier to follow the habits that aren't good for you. Yeah. So in some cases, people learn by new statements what to do about blood pressure, what to do about mental agility. If you can change the way you're living, even slightly, lose the weight, do the exercise, read the book, I think that your body will take care of you.
I'm going to read something, William Shatner, and you stay quiet. You don't need to respond to this. I ain't trying to get you in no trouble, and I ain't trying to make you political. So you stay quiet for just a second, respectfully, while I read this. And I've gotten all kinds of messages. They all say different things, but they say it different ways, but they all say the same thing. And I'm just going to read this one line. If Biden were as sharp as William Shatner, he'd win in a landslide. If Biden were as sharp as William Shatner, he'd win in a landslide. I'm going to leave that alone. All right, Miles, cue up this. I want to just play, before we move forward here, I want to just play the trailer for the documentary, the recent documentary, William Shatner's documentary called You Can Call Me Bill.
It's an interesting phrase, go boldly. What is there to boldly go into?
You're William Shatner.
You can call me Bill.
Do we ever present ourselves as we really are to somebody else? Can we be absolutely honest? As we get older, we ask ourselves questions. Do we really know each other? Do we really know ourselves? Why are we here?
Let's go get some answers.
Risk is our business.
Everything's risky, but there's something beautiful about that.
I'll face whatever you have behind those doors and come out exactly as I went in.
I haven't changed the world. But what is a legacy are the good deeds. Go boldly. Go with courage. Go with commitment. That's what it means. And then boldly go into the next adventure. That's the story of my life. It's the search for love, symmetry, and passion. That curiosity is what keeps us alive.
Go boldly. More with William Shatner when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.
Unapologetically progressive. Unapologetically black. You're tapped into Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley.
May Fresh Daily in the Mert Park,
Los Angeles, California.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
You know, before I answer any more questions, there's something I wanted to say. I having received all your letters over the years, and I've spoken to many of you, and some of you have traveled, you know, hundreds of miles to be here, I'd just like to say, get a life, will you, people? I mean, for crying out loud, it's just a TV show. I mean, look at you. Look at the way you're dressed. You've turned an enjoyable little job that I did as a lark for a few years into a colossal waste of time. I mean, how old are you people? What have you done with yourselves? You must be almost 30. Have you ever kissed a girl? I didn't think so. There's a whole world out there. When I was your age, I didn't watch television. I lived. So move out of your parents' basements and get your own apartments and grow the hell up. I mean, it's just a TV show, damn it. It's just a TV show.
Not exactly. That's William Shatner on Saturday Night Live. It is more. Star Trek is and was more than just a TV show. But it set his career in a direction he has never looked back. And that was 60 years ago and all that he's done. I was flipping channels the other night, William Shatner, and stopped and watched T.J. Hooker, man.
Yeah. Well, there were a lot of shows in the past and so much in the future. For example, charity. I've been doing a charitable horse show for 35 years, mm-hmm. raising on an average around $400,000, $500,000 a year. Over 35 years, that's millions of dollars going to children and veterans. Mm. The Hollywood Charity Horse Show is on in a couple of weeks. Think about it. There are a few seats left, and if not, horseshow.org, you can find out whether you want to make a contribution. All of it goes to in the vicinity. It's a local charity. And then, of course, there's this this documentary about my life that was beautifully done.
Let me do that. I'm glad you said that. So before we went to break, I played a clip in case you've just tuned in, you missed it, but I played a clip of that documentary, You Can Call Me Bill, and I wanted to come back and talk about that. So tell me about the documentary, You Can Call Me Bill.
Well, over the years, people have come up and said, let's do a documentary. No, I don't know. You know, there's such a finality to doing your biography. It's like, okay, now you're dead.
Yeah.
But along came this company called Legion M, which is a very advanced thinking group of people, and a wonderful director, Alexander O. Philippe. And the combination was such that I said, okay. And the result is phenomenal. We've been in 12, 13 film festivals and gotten, gotten great notices everywhere. And it's showing now, and look for it on the places where you can.
Yeah, video on demand. It's everywhere now. It's video on demand. Yeah, exactly. VOD. Yeah. That's right.
There's that beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. I did an album just recently. It's dropping soon for children, which is called Where Will the Animals Sleep? Mm-hmm. The title song is If We Destroy the Trees and the environment, where will the animals sleep? We're comfortable. Where will they sleep? So there's a children's album out there, another album, an adult album called Bill. So take a look. The History Channel, of course, has this show that I'm on called The Unexplained. It's very popular. And it's and all that kind of thing. Go to WilliamShatner.com, and I'm busy and I'm around in your neighborhoods.
No, or later. That is the place to go because it's hard to keep up. I'm trying to walk through this hour and identify all the things he's working on. And if nothing else, it will remind us of what we are all capable of. At the age he's now in his 93rd campaign. And he's doing albums and books and documentaries and talk shows like this one, which I'm grateful to have him on. But he mentioned a new album called Where Will the Animals Sleep? That is true. There's another project, though, called So Fragile, So Blue. It was digitally released earlier, actually just last month now. We're now in May, so it was digitally released in April. It's a recording of a performance Mr. Shatner did with Ben Folds and the National Symphony Orchestra at the Kennedy Center back in April of 2022 in support of Earth Day, which we just celebrated. Here's some sound now from So Fragile, So Blue.
What can we do? So fragile, so blue. What can we do? What can we do? What can we do? What can we do? What can we do?
Talk to me, William Shatner, about So Fragile, So Blue. You can tell, obviously, the audience loved it.
I don't know about what you've just played, but there's supposed to be a 70-piece orchestra behind me.
There was.
I couldn't hear it here. So they had asked me to come to Kennedy Center, and they have their own fabulous orchestra. Mm-hmm. And I agreed. We wrote some songs for Earth Day, and that What Can We Do is visualized as the celebrity aspect of what can we do to change the orbit of where we're going with global warming. But there are many other songs on there that I think are terrific. There's one that I did called I Want to Be a Tree, and Ben Folds plays the piano and I do my thing on I Want to Be a Tree, and it's really fun and interesting and perhaps deep. But we wrote the songs for the album.
Yeah. You mentioned horses earlier and all that you've done in that regard. We talked about your new album, Where Will the Animals Sleep? we're talking now about So Fragile, So Blue, in support of Earth Day. Over the course of your life, people are pulling at you all the time, asking you to do things. But how have you locked into those things, and what are those things beyond acting, of course, that matter to you?
That's an interesting question, because, you know, with a certain amount of popularity, actors are asked to do all
sure.
kinds of things. And how do you, I'm sure the same as with you, how do you make that decision of I'll do that charity, I won't do that charity?
Mm-hmm.
So it's careful. I look at it carefully. I'm overbooked as it is. So it isn't just a matter of saying, okay, it's, you don't want to get, you don't want to expose too much, but then everything smells badly if you're doing too much. So how to make that discretion is a tough one.
Yep. So the album Where Will the Animals Sleep drops on Friday, May 17th. That's from Cleopatra Records. That's on Friday, May 17th. The documentary You Can Call Me Bill is available video on demand right now. So Fragile, So Blue is also available right now. And when we come forward, I told you this guy's busy, man. When we come forward, we're talking about William Shatner and his Antarctica cruise. Yeah, he's doing cruises too. I love this guy. More of William Shatner when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.
This is getting good.
Yeah, man.
Tavis Smiley continues when we come forward. Let's get back to more of this rich dialogue with Tavis Smiley.
In this desolate yet hauntingly beautiful Iceland, we find a mirror to our own existence, a call to explore, to preserve, and to cherish the fragile blue orb we call home. For the adventure is just beginning. Join me this December on an epic voyage to Antarctica.
William Shatner, I don't know how you do it all, man. I don't know how you do it all, but tell me about this Antarctica cruise.
Well, I was approached to see if we'd like to put together a cruise. We're calling it, because it is, the adventure of a lifetime. So there's this wonderful cruise ship going to meet everybody at the tip of South America. And we all gather in Buenos Aires, and they fly us down there. And we get on this very luxurious cruise ship, but in the smallest category. So there's like 200 cabins, and about half of them are available. And it's pricey, but it's a once-in-a-lifetime trip where we go Christmas week to the Antarctic, guided tour, all those things, the kayaks, the adventures on the snow, the animals at the lectures, and the things you can do on a cruise. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Go to williamshatner.com and see if you'd like to join me and a group of other names you'll notice, you'll recognize. The Christmas week. It really will be a lifetime adventure.
Yeah. I said a moment ago or moments ago that if nothing else, aside from understanding all that you are doing, this conversation has been an understatement in what people are capable of when they, as you said earlier, go boldly, when they go with courage, when they go with commitment. What say you about that, about what we really are capable of? My sense is, and I've talked to experts on this program about it, that we are capable of so much more, but most of us never tap in to even a scintilla of all that we can do. We're satisfied.
I agree.
Tell me more.
I absolutely agree with you that, you know, you see footage of the special forces being, their ability to keep going is pushed to the maximum.
Mm-hmm.
They're fainting. They're weak from the exercise, from the amount of activity they have to do, and yet they can always can do more. As long as you can walk, put one foot ahead of the other, you can do something.
Mm.
We do not tap into our total potential, both physically and mentally, and that's boldly going into areas that you might not want to, might not think of going, that you put your toe into the waters of adventure, and you'll eventually bathe in them.
Mm. That's a cold line right there. Put your toe into the waters of adventure, and you will eventually bathe in them. I repeat earlier.
Wish I had said that.
But I'll part right on time. He still has his comedy timing. I love it. Dip your toe. That's the advice today. Dip your toe into the waters of adventure, and eventually you'll be swimming in it. I wish I'd said that, but I think William Shatner did. Our remaining moments with him when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.
More of Tavis Smiley when we come forward. Sounds different, huh? This is Tavis Smiley.
This is Tavis Smiley with William Shatner, at least for the next 3 minutes. That's all I have left. I have enjoyed this hour with William Shatner immensely. And the one thing we haven't talked about with all the other stuff that you're doing is that you got not one, but a couple of books, William Shatner?
I'm writing all the time. Boldly Go is the title of the book that's out there now. Mm-hmm. And what you and I have been talking about is part of what the book talks about the idea of living your life with courage. Mm-hmm. It's not in the face of withering bullets coming at you. It's the courage of getting outside. A relative of mine had whatever they call it, agoraphobia, is it, where you don't want to, you're afraid to go outside.
Yeah.
That fear, that unspoken, unknown fear that are in our minds all the time, we're fearful naturally because that's the way we preserved ourselves. But that fear can be uncontrollable at times. And if you can control the fear of something new and get out there and boldly go, look for new things, new ideas, new love, new food, just exercise your freedom ever so slightly, you will live not to regret it.
Mm. I can't close any better than that. The only thing I would add to that is williamshatner.com. Is that okay if I promote that? Williamshatner.com?
Yeah, that's place to do it.
Williamshatner.com is where you can tap into all that we've talked about. We have talked about So Fragile, So Blue, one album. We've talked about Where Will the Animals Sleep, another album. We've talked about his books, including Go Boldly, Boldly Go. We've talked about the documentary You Can Call Me Bill, available now, video demand everywhere. We've talked about the cruise in December, Space to Sea, a once-in-a-lifetime cruise to Antarctica. We've talked about a lot, and I know it's hard to keep track of all these things, but if you go to williamshatner.com, you can get tapped into everything that William Shatner is doing at the ripe young age of 93. Mr. Shatner, I consider it a seminal honor that once again I've had a chance to engage with you in a public conversation. Thank you, thank you, thank you, my friend, and all the best to you, sir.
Thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for your time. Just like that, 3 hours gone. What a week it has been. With some amazing guests. I thank all of our guests today and every single day this week. I hope you enjoyed this program today and all week long, just half as much as I have. I say that because tomorrow is Friday, which means the best of Tavis Smiley. It's going to be hard this week picking three. We got so much to choose from. But it's going to be a great show tomorrow. And you might have missed something this week. Tomorrow, your chance to catch up on it on the best of Tavis Smiley. Until then, thanks for tuning in. And as always, faith.